Okay. Speaking of which, okay. So we've been doing the, discussing some of the, you know, like fundamental underpinnings, let's say, of the Derech of Brisk, and how that fits into the worldview that the Rav espouses in Ish Halacha, discussing, you know, how there's correlation, in other words, between the method of learning and the Hashkafas Olam. And I was suggesting that that, like, not the missing link, but let's say the, you know, the interface of the two is this idea of halacha as the Rav describes it. He just doesn't so much formulate it as the connection between the two things, but the idea of halacha as a kind of blueprint for a you know, divine or a priori and transcendent reality. So we discussed how this affects the perspective that Olam Hazeh can be a lechatchila, that it can be the ikar venue in which spirituality is developed, right? Instead of that being a concession, that the capacity of halacha and the categories of halacha to transform the reality of physical experience and to suffuse it with kedusha is the key ingredient, you know, that justifies that idea. And then, as I say, it's not a kula at all. It's a reflection of the power of transformative power of the halacha. And we also explained last week how this also reflects a kind of deep Yiras Shamayim, that's very important, profound, impactful Yiras Shamayim, a Yiraso Kodemus the Chachmaso, which, as I say, has a different or new wrinkle, Batel Ritzon Chol Ritzono, the idea of surrendering to the categories of the halacha as being a prerequisite, right, to being, you know, somebody who has a say. So that, in that sense, literally, Yirasa Kodemus L'Chachmasa. The first thing you have to do is give in and be a total mitzuveh and really even suspend your own logic and your own perspectives. And once that takes place, then, you know, Chachmaso actually comes back, you know, I wouldn't say with a vengeance, that's the wrong word, but Chachmaso then becomes like very much a tool of Avodas Hashem instead of like, you know, rivaling or in some sense, challenging like the boundaries of being a mitzuveh from the inside. I say the insider perspective or the insider credential is also something that explains the mystery of Chiddush and its dialectic with Mesorah. And it's very much, in my opinion, again, the Rav doesn't formulate it this way either. But again, you know, they used to call Reb Chaim a chemist. You know, the critics of Reb Chaim used to call him a chemist. So, you know, they're basically saying that, like, you know, what is this stuff that he's doing? So what is he, a scientist, you know, a chemist? You know, this isn't the language or the, you know, approach, you know, that typically is used in Limud HaTorah. And, you know, this is their way of saying that, you know, this is not part of the Mesorah. It's too cutting edge and innovative. And, you know, there's obviously in some of the critiques, there's also the charge of, you know, not for Reb Chaim himself, let's say, but for, let's say, proponents of the Derech of, you know, potential arrogance, too much independence, etc. But again, if you look at it this way, so again, if you paid your dues and established your credentials as an insider, so then that really solves this problem. I don't mean that that means you can never be arrogant or step over the boundary. What I'm saying is that if you do this properly, so it should really guarantee, you know, at least from a system point of view, that this is not, you know, on the contrary, Yiras Shamayim is really a critical aspect of it. So the idea of an a priori, ontologically pure halacha is something which, again, those who are familiar with, you know, classical philosophy, in one sense is very similar to, you know, Plato's notion of the form. You know, there being like, Plato had this idea of like ideal form, and then, you know, the world, real world kind of tries to, you know, approximate, you know, the pure, you know, category. And in a sense, the this idea of the halacha as a system, like a perfect system, a system that is very complex, and you know, there are aspects of the halacha in that sense that go beyond that, but this idea of you know, the goal being to actualize it in the imperfect real world, but the extent to which you think, you know, in those categories and try to approximate their perfection, that that constitutes Avodas Hashem, is very much in that image. And I think it's just very interesting that in all different ways of hashkafic thinking, right, the idea that halacha and the Torah is a blueprint, you know, for the world, you know, emerges. And the fact that it's expressed in such multi-faceted way, you know, highlights how this is just a universal theme. Everybody's struggling to say it in their own way, but it's just like a, again, a linchpin of the system. So whether it's the Zohar, it's the Stakel, Baraisa, Bar Alma, or, you know, by extension also the Ramban's Hakdama and his Perish Al HaTorah, of, you know, the words of the Torah being Shemos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is his way of saying that the Torah and the Halacha by extension literally, you know, brings you to Shemos of Shal. The thing about Shem Hashem, as we know, is that it represents, you know, the combination of how we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam and also his essence. That's why there are different levels of Shemos Hashem, you know, the ones that are Nimchakim. There's a whole hierarchy in Shemos, not for now, but, you know, Shemos Nimchakim, Shemos Sheinim Nimchakim, and then there's, you know, Lokas Shem Shani Nichtav, Ani Nikra, and Shem HaMeforash. The whole idea is B'mokom Asher Azkir Shemi, right, the psukim that we just read, you know, in Shemos, you know, the last couple of weeks, the idea that Hashras Hashchina is associated with Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Shemos of Shel Hashem is always has a double meaning. It's a mechanism that you use to describe someone and to relate to him. You call somebody by name, you relate to him as a name. And then, of course, you know, when it's really the right name, so that name isn't just a mechanism that you use to have a relationship with someone, especially more of a surface relationship, but it's a recognition, kol makom asher azkir es shemi. That's why, again, Unklus always, you know, connects, you know, haskaras shemo, you know, with hashras hashchina, because it's the essence of the person. And that, when the Ramban says that kol haTorah kula is shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think he means this idea, that, you know, on the one hand, it's the way that we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it also is, in a certain sense, it's like the code. I don't mean it in the, you know, whatever it is, or Sameach, or what's the other one? Not or Sameach. What is it? Eish HaTorah. Yeah, okay, got it. I never know the difference. But whatever it is, I don't mean it in that sense, although I guess, but what I mean is it's the code of the universe, in a sense, the code of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's both the essence and the method of relating. And, you know, the fact that this is written by the Ramban, you know, who, you know, I don't have to tell you, you know, if you read the Perish Al HaTorah, and if you understand who the Ramban is, and his Kiddushim, and the Mechamos, and in everything, you know, so for him to write in his Hagdama, again, mostly, you know, Yibam aside, so, you know, mostly the Ramban is, I should also add, by the way, this is belongs in yesterday's share, that the Ramban's very strong view about Yibum being a mitzvah and a muvchar against the Ravid is something which is very, I was surprised Elliot didn't say it, is something which is very consistent with his view about Yibum in his Perish Al HaTorah, you know, and how Yibum kodem l'chalitza. Should make that point. Anyways, but the point is that Yibum aside, normally the Ramban, you know, he has his derech hasod, but he's able to differentiate. It's just very fascinating that, you know, in the Hagdama to the Perish Al HaTorah, that's the Hagdama, right? He has this, you know, mystical idea. But I think the reason is because it's a mystical idea, but it's a mystical idea with a very normative, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, pshat or halacha or, you know, medrash or whatever, the idea of the Ramban that, you know, Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch, that the whole Torah, you know, is Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch and in different configurations, which is another way of saying also that, you know, it isn't just like you have static dinim or stories, right? It's the interaction between them. You just, you know, the Shemos of that, the idea of, you know, whatever the combinations are, if you know the combinations, there are different combinations. They're all, or many of them are, Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch. So it's a mystical idea. Just like Shivim Parim LaTorah is a mystical idea in a certain sense, the magic of a divine Torah Shebichsav. but it's one which resonates very strongly in the world of halachic norms, in the world of Talmud Torah and Hashkafa. You know, when the Ramban speaks about, again, Achdus HaMaskal V'HaMuskal, so he sees it as a kind of a philosophic idea. But it's the same idea, the idea that, you know, by means of Talmud Torah and attaching yourself to what it is that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us, right, that's the mechanism of having a relationship with him. And therefore, limud is an avoda, right? It's not just, you know, limud. It is limud almanas lasos, but it's more, it's limud almanas, you know, lahavin lahaskil. Again, I think I mentioned Rabbeinu Yonah last week. Rabbeinu Yonah's Hevu Mesunim Bedin, which is about kosher mishpah, but the principle, behind it, which is haskel v'yadoa osi, by means of understanding, like the nuances of Talmud Torah, you know, goes beyond. The chiddush is that it's also in din. Even in din, the most pragmatic area, where you would think that it's just about efficiency, it's it overlaps with other systems, etc. So maybe that's dafka, where the uniqueness, I've said this in the past, of the Rabban Shalom system really, you know, is highlighted. There's a lot to say about that. But even, take a step back from Choshe Mishpat, it's all of Torah, really. Haskel v'yadoa osi. So this idea that you could say it halachically, you could say it philosophically, you could say it mystically, but in the end, you know, it's all, you know, Shivim Panim Torah, it's all speaking, it's all conveying the same message, which is that Torah, halacha, right, these are meant to be, you know, access literally to, that's why we say Keneged Kulam, that's why we, you know, spend so much time just trying to figure out every point, every detail. It's not every technical issue is important, but every concept, every perspective, every interaction is important. And that's why, you know, the idea of Hasmada and the idea of Torah as a source for Yira, but Torah also coming in the aftermath of Yiraso Kodemus is very, very critical. The fact that Matan Torah, right, which we just read this past week, the Gilui Shechina has the stature and status that it does, Yom HaShishi, you know, the world being given for that day, reflects this as well, the purpose of the world. Of course, what's very fascinating is that what's important about Gilui Shechina is two things, but again, I would say the combination of the two, right? One is the Tochen of Gilui Shechina, which is Torah itself, Torah Sheba'al Peh and Torah Sheba'atzav. And of course, the other is the experience, that which the Ramban, you know, so much emphasizes in his Perush Al HaTorah and in Sefer HaMitzvos, etc. The idea is that the, you know, it's not just our two dinim, but it's the tochen and the experience, but it's the integration of the two. The idea that the experience, you know, lends, the experience of Gilui Shechina took place in the giving of this tochen. And therefore, every time you revisit the tochen, and that's why, studying Torah is something which requires a certain posture, right, of Yira as well, like Balkeri, that's the famous Gemara in third parak of Brachos, where the Gemara says, you know, you have to have Beyira, Bereses, you have to have that sense of reverence, because the tochen is part of the experience. The experience is built in to it's the way that you rekindle the experience, and the experience without having a tochen would have been, I wouldn't say an empty experience, chas v'shalom, but it wouldn't have been the kind of experience that the world was created for. So it's both of those elements. We say kol ha'am roim misakolos, right, which we know is a fascinating, you know, formulation, right? It seems to mix up the senses. What the Torah is saying, very, again, succinctly but very, you know, profoundly, is that both on an experience level and on a tochen level, right, the regular boundaries of senses are inadequate, right, to address the experience and the tochen of Talmud Torah. It's roim esakolos, right? It transcends the normal categories. It's a special din. It's a special chalos, right? There's a chalos that applies only to the Torah, which is being roeh es hakol. And that's a very important idea, both from an experiential point of view, because that's what they experience, but they couldn't describe it. It was like no other experience ever. It contradicts, you know, the normal senses and experiences, sensory experiences, but also in terms of the tochen, as I say, what appears to be a kol can also be a ri'a, and vice versa. I don't want to get back to kol marav reyach, you know, and the Rambam Shita, but you know, I don't think it's irrelevant either. As we know, there's a famous machlokas Rishonim regarding minyan mitzvos. The Bahag didn't count on Och Hashem Elokecha and minyan mitzvos, and the Rambam did. And the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos explains that you know, that the Bahag was motivated by an awareness that like Och Hashem Elokecha is just different. Number one, there are no mitzvos without the borei olam, without the mitzapeh. And he wanted to keep that distinct, and he wasn't trivializing an Och Hashem Elokecha by saying it isn't a mitzvah. On the contrary, he was saying it's more than a mitzvah. It's the prior assumption of all mitzvos, and therefore it shouldn't be reduced to being part of Taryag. So it always occurred to me, I always found it very fascinating, that if somebody woke me up in the middle of the night and said to me, the Bahag and the Rambam debate about, you know, whether an Och Hashem Elokecha should be included in Taryag mitzvos. And the argument is that, you know, you don't want to trivialize Emunah Bashem, you know, by reducing it simply to one of the mitzvos. And, who do you think says what? So I would have thought, you know, not any longer, but like in earlier days, maybe, that are without knowledge, that, the Rambam is the great philosopher, and, he has a very keen appreciation of the role of theology and philosophy, and certainly the difference between law and philosophy. And, if anybody understands that Anokhi Hashem Elokecha is not the same as Hashavas Aveda, Kantzipor, or, you know, Sreifas Nosar, so it's the Rambam. But it's Dafka the Rambam, right, who counts Anokhi Hashem Elokecha and Minyan Taryag. And, you know, upon further reflection, and once we're acquainted with the Rambam, I think it's exactly the point. I mean, the Rambam, more than anybody else, integrated the worlds of, or I wouldn't say more than anyone else, but as well as anyone else, certainly, of Machshava and Halacha. And a closer examination of what he wrote, contrary to, you know, some the ways sometimes portrayed by philosophers and historians, but, you know, people, again, initiates, people who understand the world of Torah understand, that if you read the Rambam carefully in certainly Sefer Mada, but even throughout Yalach HaZaka, and if you read the Rambam carefully in Mor Nevuchim, not just select controversial, pieces, but the total work, right, which is suffused also with references of Medrash and Chazals and Halacha and so on, that, there are different dimensions in the Rambam, but mostly the Rambam took a very integrative approach. And on the contrary, for the Rambam, because Anokhi Hashem Elokecha is the foundation, the linchpin, the philosophical yesod of everything else, the Rambam felt, this is my suggestion, that it was necessary to integrate that in Taryag Mitzvos. The relationship between Anokhi Hashem Elokecha and the rest, is a mutually enhancing one. The idea that there would be Anokhi Hashem Elokecha would just be pure theology or philosophy, you know, that wouldn't translate into a tochen, either into the experience of Gilui Shechina or into the tochen of Talmud Torah, would have been to, again, speak about, you know, to use a Kuzari term, the God of Aristotle rather than the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the idea that Taryag Mitzvos wouldn't be integrated together with Anokhi Hashem Elokecha would have been a way would have given the misleading impression that it's just, you know, law and efficiency and norms and, you know, prescriptions, rather than being a value system, which is meant to reflect Dvar Hashem. So by integrating Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, despite the differences, because of the differences, the Rambam was saying that Anokhi Hashem Elokecha is also connected to being, to Tzivui Hashem. We spoke the other day, mentioned that, you know, the idea of kfiya b'mitzvos, which sounds like such a, you know, coercive, harsh kind of a thing, but it's in a way it celebrates the concept of tzivui, and that's a perspective on Godel Mitzuva V'yosa in addition to the psychological ha'ara of the Baalei Tosfos in Kiddusha. So the idea that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a tzivui, you know, for the Rambam, for the system of halacha, doesn't diminish it or tarnish it in any way. Again, whether it's Leida or Lahamin, I don't want to get into that right now. I like the comment of Reb Chaim Heller in the Sefer Mitzvos, you know, that the Arabic term that the Rambam used conveyed both. But he meant it just like it could be either one. The way I mean it is he picked a term that intentionally conveys both. But anyways, that's part of it, Lahamin and Leida. But I think the main point that I'm trying to make is, you know, that for the Rambam, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you know, of course has to be integrated with Hashavas Aveda and Kan Tzipor and Dinei Nezikin and Dinei Tahara, etc. But Dinei Tahara and Dinei Nezikin and all these things equally require Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And from my point of view, the Rambam, of course, embodied this in his life and in his work. And the system of halachic reality, which we've been talking about, chalos, the underpinnings of brisk, I say add a dimension to this issue as well. If the tochen of halacha is a system of values, right? It's a blueprint which we try to approximate, and it really is the not only the basis for Yedias Hashem, but it's the challenges to cultivate them in one's own persona, right? So that again, he's Batel Ritzono L'Ritzono Makom Yiraso Kodemas L'Chachmaso. So you can understand very well that Anochi Hashem Elokecha has to be part of the Aser Sadibros. The Aser Sadibros need it, and Anochi Hashem Elokecha need it. Again, a point closely related to this, we start with Emunah, which is Machshava. We continue in the Aser Sadibros, you know, to Maisim, and then in the end of the Aser Sadibros, we return back, Losachma V'losasabe, to the world of Machshava. And the idea is we start with the idea of a certain commitment, because that framework and foundation is indispensable, right, to giving spiritual and transformative, never mind transcendent, meaning to what follows. And once we've, you know, focused on tzivuyim and maisa mitzvos and concrete values and so on, right, so then we emphasize once again how those things are meant, right, to redefine who you are and even how you think. And therefore it's losach mod v'los esave. So Aser Sadibros, in a certain sense, is something which integrates these ideas. So what I wanted to do, leave it for next time, but I wanted to do now is, in light of this, to break down a little bit some of the, a couple of just examples to show how the Derech HaLimud part, let's say, accentuates, again, this idea of halachic reality, this idea of transcendent, divine categories, which are more than rational, and which are mostly constituted inner coherence, and how that differs from, you know, people who, I guess, preceded and lived parallel to, and even in some cases came after, Reb Chaim. Yeah.
We were comparing the worldview that the Rav was outlining with the Ramban, let's say, on Yibum Bachalitza, on Yugo Bashas, Yugo on Nefesh.
Yeah.
So, in terms of that comparison, so it seems like for the Ramban, that the primitive categories of the worldview, let's say, is some either Kabbalistic or some metaphysical principles, Gilgul and Shammah.
Well, I think it's a rare, I don't think that's typical in the Ramban at all. I mean, I think the Ramban happens to believe, you know, because as a Mekubal, he strongly believed that in the principle of Gilgul Neshamos, and since, I guess, if you are really a believer in Gilgul Neshamos, so that becomes almost, you know, a kind of Pikuach Nefesh, you know, La'achar Misa, you know, Pikuach Nefesh kind of a thing.
Well, either way, what emerges is that.
But I don't think that's typical of the Ramban at all.
Whether typical or atypical, I'm saying the primitive category there in that case is not halachic per se.
Well, he thinks that's halachic. The Ramban's view is that this Kabbalistic view of Gilgul Neshamos is built into the actual halachos and is the primary. And as I think what I'm saying is that
precisely the halachos are, let's say, safeguards on those doctrines.
No, in this particular case, the tochen of the halacha for the Ramban, that's what I say. Normally, the Ramban sees the halacha as something which maybe transcends a particular. It's something which has usually multiple dimensions. Let's say. A Kabbalistic one, rational one, and so on and so forth. That's his typical view. I think for that reason, normally Torah Sasod, Al Derech HaEmes, is either skipped completely or it's at the end of the piece. It's certainly not indispensable in any way. That's the typical Ramban. Almost, if you go through the Ramban, Perush Al HaTorah, right, you almost never. That's why it's so unusual. You almost never have what you find in Yibum. Yibum is definitely an exception because the Ramban will say the categories are the categories of the halacha, and it's building this value system. I think fits in beautifully with Ramban's perspective on Kansipor, Nasisa Yashar Batov, and Kedoshim Tiyu, and Tamim Tiyam Hashem Alokecha, right, and numerous other of the Ramban's leitmotifs, not just he happens to say that pshat. But things which are reinforced by patterns in his Perush Al HaTorah. Rarely, the Ramban has a very strong conviction that a particular halacha, is something, very, very specifically defined from the world of Kabbalah. And that's the case of Yibum. But I think it's an exception which proves, the contrary rule more than... It's not that he's imposing, from his point of view, he's not saying, oh, this is the world of halacha? I'm imposing my Kabbalistic view. I think at that, the halachos here are secondary, and the, hashkafic import, let's say, of the Kabbalah is primary. Ramban's not doing that either. The Ramban thinks, and that's why he connects it with, some of the details about, Yibum and Chalitza and Abelus and, some of those comments. The Ramban thinks that the halachic material in this case conveys, the Kabbalistic perspective of Gilgal and the Shamos. But I don't think there's any place where you really get the impression that the, for example, when it comes to some Tamei Mitzvos people, just to contrast it, right, there you get the impression sometimes, oh, the halacha's there, not intentionally, but that's, I think, a proper critique. The halacha is being exploited as a method, to convey certain, extraneous or external ideas. I never have that impression in the Ramban. I think the Ramban's greatness is the sense of authenticity and, internality, if you could say, meaning it's all an internal thing in the Ramban. In the case of Yibum, and that's what's striking about it, he just thinks it's a very strange halacha. Like, what's going on here? Eshesach and the brother and everything else.
And
he really, really thinks that the Gilgal Neshamos, which he believes in strongly from the world of Kabbalah, captures the halachic minutia and the category. And that's why here it's not just a dimension of Derech Hasod. As I say, it's right there, as number one and, very, overpowering in his presentation.
Maybe just to be a little clearer then. So let's say when you talk about Kedushas Ishus.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're looking for the primitive categories, like the most basic elements of this like halachic worldview.
Right.
So as we're talking about Kedushas Ishus. So it's the primitive, that's the most basic vocabulary, this concept of Kedushas Ishus. And then we look at all the halachos, let's say Arayos, halachos of Yibum,
right.
Halachos of
Gittin, Kedushin, Asuan.
Are those all just ways that things that stem from that primitive category of Kedushas Ishus? Or would you reverse it and say that no, like I feel like that's probably something close to like what the Rav would say, and like what Belva would say, like the primitive categories are no, a din ksuba, a din gittin, din.
I'll speak about
then
that.
Then you could reconstruct this concept
right.
of Kedushas Ishus.
I don't know whether I think you're right in that. Again, this is part of a larger discussion, so we're going to have to stop now. But let me just say the following, but bring it up next time because I'm happy to discuss it. I think it's correct to say that that the Rav was extremely self-aware, and he had a philosophical, both a philosophical training and a philosophical bent, and therefore his perspective on Brisk is to see the reconstructions, let's say, as uncovering the latent blueprints and so on. Whereas Rav Velvel, I think, didn't. And again, the Perush Al HaTorah, I think, is a great example of it. So Rav Velvel was a master. I wouldn't say technician, because that, that sounds too technical. But he was a master, of the derech, let's say, and his focus was narrower on each individual halacha, and what it accomplished. And I think, again, if you look at Rav Chaim and you look at Rav Velvel, you'll never find, and you look at Rav Moshe, what we have of his, you'll never find them putting things together across, like connect the dots. Oh, if you say this about Ksuva and that about, Kiddushin, and this about Gittin, like, what's the pattern? Frankly, you very rarely find it in the Rav, too. I mean, he did a little bit. I mean, the, I always like to say, the challenge in the end of the halachic mind, that a worldview awaits, to be discovered, was not something that he picked up little pieces. But across, again, now that some of the material is coming out, so it's interesting. He didn't write it that way, but if you put all the stuff in some of the, they did a good job, like, editing and putting things together, 10 different articles. You put it together, you get a, because it's all in one volume, or it's juxtaposed, so you get a better sense of the system. But he, too, rarely, certainly not in the shiurim at all. I mean, in the regular shiur, as a Talmud, I can say, this wasn't, he wasn't bringing out the hashkafic points at all. It could have been Rav Velvel's shiur, or Rav Chaim's shiur, that's a different discussion, too. He would rarely say, look at the pattern in the hashkafic. I might do that, but he wasn't doing that in his regular shiur. If he was giving a lecture, or if you had him in private discussion, it could very well be that he was doing that. But certainly what he writes in Ishalacha, and what he writes in Bado Deich Midot, and what he writes in some of the other things, are justification, not a justification, but a reflection of, that being an ideal program, to be following. But in terms of the shiurim and the, piece by, now I think there's a certain advantage that the pieces were pieces. I just think that once, this is something I was going to speak about also, that, once you have them and the integrity of, the process of each sugya, let's say, is not compromised, then the ability to take the bigger picture and stand back and whatever is just the next proper step. You just have to make sure you don't do it too soon, and you're not imposing external things, on it, and that's really coming from the flow, and then the patterns are. But he didn't do that much, is what I'm saying. And even the stuff now that's come out is more, cumulatively, if you say this and that and this and that and this and that, but it's not done systematically, and certainly not with Lushitasos, and not. I think even if you just take Rav Velvel's very, very extensive work on Kodshim, and you put some of them together, or Rav Chaim's, we have less material. There are things, even in Kodshim and Taurus and whatever, there are bigger patterns that they themselves weren't developing, because they were interested in the local Rambam, the idea of putting it all together, what's the uber, that wasn't the mentality. What the Rav's writing, that's what's so mechudash, and Ish Halacha, and these other things, is that it could be, it should be, it's the next step. You call it the next step, but whatever. So, I do think that there are these two perspectives. The perspective, the halacha is the halacha, and maybe reconstructing it, this is what comes out, or, to what extent are the halachas themselves a reflection, let's say, of these values and perspectives. I would just add one other point, and that is that I think of the real purist, Platonic world of Brisk, there's not a stira between those two things either. And it's good that they methodologically come out of studying and reconstructing, right? And at the same time, then they reinforce. I think there's a dialectical movement there too. Yeah.
I'd say the difference between saying that a shtar is a chetzah shalevis is translating halachic terminology into other halachic terminology. And you're taking a din shtar and you're saying that's reducible to dinim, a certain new kind of avis.
Right.
Saying that certain halachos reflect kedushas ishus is saying that there's this new category as reflected by.
Or there are different expressions. I don't say it's a new category, because it's only a new category if it's not already a dimension or reflected as a dimension in previous halachah. In other words, I don't have to say that, if I say that Kedushas Ishus as a category exists only as a result of the cumulative patterns that that we can formulate, then what you're saying is correct. But if I say that already, if you just study the Rambam Shita in, you know, Eidei Kiyum, let's say, in, you know, in Kiddushin and Nitzuin, or the Rambam Shita on Ksuva, or the Rambam Shita on Masa Grishaso, or and so on and so forth, you already you have the notion of Kiddushas Ishus, right? You have it in one dimension, right? And then, how does that figure with, you know, in the Shemos of Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, which also, you know, which are there, but also in different configurations can be different, right? How does that express itself in Yibum, you know, and so on and so forth? So then I'm not generating those categories or those concepts. They're not artificial concepts, or they're not only the result of the cumulative, integration of the different sugyas, which you could say, you could challenge and say, well, that you're doing that, but that's not, you know, that's not the Rambam, that's not the Gemara, that's you across. But what I'm saying is, if already the notion of Kedushas Ishus is found in any of them, so then I'm not creating the category. What I'm doing is I'm developing or understanding better. What I'm doing is also a level of reconstruction. It's, you know, given that the category does exist in my analysis.
That category, is that category the same as the Nidus?
I think so.
Is the category of Kedushas Ishus any different than the category?
I don't think it has to be. I just think it may look more synthetic because it's across. It's more subtly across different cases, but I don't really think so. I don't really think so. I think if you were to look at, you know, the Eidus of Shtar in context of the Eidus al Peh, you know, and so on, you might have a very similar, you know, kind of structure. So I don't think it is fundamentally different. And I think there are some issues in Brisk which are very interesting, and that is like the tendency about, you know, what is our perspective on Gzeres HaKasuv? And here is where I feel that there's, you know, room for greater flexibility than it sometimes showed. What do you do when you have a Gzeres HaKasuv? How inclined are you, let's say initially, to see something, quote unquote, as a din mesuyam, meaning an exception rather than part of the rule? If you see something as an exception to the rule, so how likely are you to think that it's a recalibration, let's say, of the rule, like adjusted for a certain context, you know, etc.? I think those things in the, let's say, certainly in the Torah Shabbat Tzav, you know, a brisk, and in the certainly contemporary, you know, practice of it, maybe even in the older practice of it, are interesting issues, which I feel, you know, there's room to differ and expand. But I say it, and I could be completely wrong, as somebody who I think is like an insider, I mean, I say it from the perspective of, if not an insider, certainly somebody who wants to be an insider, meaning I don't think that that dilutes it, I think that that, you know, further, you know, develops it, and that it's important to raise these you know, these questions. There's room for a din mesuyam, which is totally unique, and there's room for Gzeres HaKasuv, which is a total exception. I don't think that it has to be that way. My inclination would be, whenever I see Gzeres HaKasuv, right, to see it as reflecting, oh, the patterns of a different category, which then can have other, you know, not, I think it's Yesh V'Yesh, but I don't think that's less. I think in the history, in other words, what I'm saying of how brisk is presented and developed, there were certain tendencies about narrowness, you know, keeping things very limited, and so on. Just as there were, like you were describing before, there are Velvel-esque, and Reb Chaim also in the Chibur. You know, this is this Rambam, that's that Rambam. You know, I just don't think, I think like a fuller, and it could be arrogant, but a fuller application of it, you know, a natural progression of it, is actually, you know, to put the stuff together, as long as you're not diluting it, to see, you know, some of these more subtle applications. So I'll try to illustrate that too, maybe. I'm just going to take a couple of cases just to show pre-Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, maybe post-Reb Chaim a little bit, or you know. So I will stop here, but I'm not going to be here next week because, I will be here next week, but next week we'll have a regular shiur on Monday because I'm not going to be here the end of the week. But next time we pick up with this, so maybe we'll talk about... we did, you know, the sugya of Tzaras Sota, and that Reb Chaim. So I may want to just use that. I think at the time I hinted that, you know, I think Reb Chaim is, you know, if you compare Beis Halevi and Reb Chaim, I think it's instructive, you know, for what took place there and what the revolution is. So I want to expand on that a little bit, and the other piece also in Sota, and then maybe a couple of other examples just to highlight again where I think the Chiddush is, and also again hashkafically, you know, how that lines up. Okay. Sorry? The one about Sota? Oh, that's why you weren't here. I don't see Yibum B'chalit. Very wonderful. Your test or something like that.